Hello, everyone, and welcome to Now Spinning, the official podcast of the Lansing Community College Vinyl Record Club. We meet twice a month to listen to vinyl and talk about music. Stay tuned to learn about how you can get in touch with us and attend our meetings. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Now Spinning. We're so happy to have you here. We have a great new episode for you today. It's our first meeting of the summertime. These meetings, they go on an extra half hour longer than I usually do, so we've got a little bit more music to talk about today, and hopefully we can get through it all for you. Starting off strong, we have a 30-minute long jazz song, and that is Write Off by Miles Davis off the album A Tribute to Jack Johnson. This song was very interesting to me because, firstly, I missed most of the pre-meeting stuff, so this was like just ending when I got there, but I listened to it afterwards, and I found that it was a lot more, like a blues rock thing than most of his other fusion stuff I've listened to.
Yeah, this is Noah Miller talking.
I'm Simon Medina, by the way. Hello.
You're okay. Simon Medina.
I'm Leo Ackerman.
I'm Simon Medina.
No, you're not. Get out of here. Sorry about that. Back at it. Anyway, Miles Davis.
Great start. With Write Off, we've got like a pretty star-studded lineup here. We've got Steve Grossman, John McLaughlin, Herbie Hancock. There's a Henderson on the bass. I'm really kind of botching that.
Yeah, I got the list here.
Nice.
Yeah, Billy Cobham, Herbie Hancock, right. John McLaughlin, Michael Henderson, Steve Grossman, and then Miles Davis. So that is
stellar
quite
lineup.
A list.
Stellar lineup. But little blues rock thing, kind of a shuffle, tribute to Jack Johnson. Nice, cool half-hour jam there.
This is actually the first track from my favorite Miles Davis album. Miles Davis, in the late 60s to early 70s, was really pushing new ground with jazz fusion, mixing jazz with sounds that we had never really heard before, in general, much less in the public sphere.
And getting new sounds out of the instruments that they already have.
Mm-hmm. And In a Silent Way and the Brew Record, we'll call it the Brew Record,
yeah,
to keep it PG, to keep it safe. Both of those are very atmospheric and very murky. You're not really able to grasp anything. Same with the follow-up records On the Corner and Get Up With It. They're very abstract, very out there. You can't really grasp onto anything. A Tribute to Jack Johnson just straight up has a rock beat, like you guys were saying.
Yeah.
It's a swing beat, and it's great, and it's awesome, and it rules the whole time, and it has the same experimentation as those other records, but it's so easy to throw on. I think it's a little treat. Shout out Miles Davis.
Indeed. Friend of the show.
Moving on to another artist who is considered basically a genius in his genre, who also recently passed away. We have the Beach Boys, which three songs were played to tribute for Brian Wilson, who, as we know, passed away a couple weeks ago. Rest in peace,
it's
the
still,
king.
It's still crazy that like he's passed away. I still can't believe it.
I know.
It's like nuts.
It's great. Yeah, he lived to be 82 years old, which is, you know, a lot longer than a lot of people thought he was going to make it. So that's good, you know. But it's still crazy to think about. Three songs that were played here. First song was played was I Just Wasn't Made for These Times.
I brought that in. Oh yeah, I'm Tyler Reck, by the way, if anybody cares.
The truth comes out.
Tyler Reck.
But I brought that one, and the interesting thing about that is it wasn't like people consider that to be, oh, it's about Brian, but like Brian wrote it with Dennis in mind.
Dennis Wilson, his brother.
Yeah. But Dennis just skipped the session. So Brian like had to record the vocal instead of Dennis, which is really interesting.
I did not know that. That's interesting.
There's also another time, kind of tangent, but for Summer Days and Summer Nights, Dennis was supposed to sing the lead for You're So Good to Me, but he fell asleep. And on the back cover of the album, like if you read what Brian's saying, he's like, oh, I had to cover like record the vocals for one of the songs because my brother was asleep or something like that. And he slept through the session.
Put it on the album.
Yeah.
I didn't know he was slacking like that.
Yeah.
Man.
Rest in peace, Brian Wilson.
Great. Yeah. Great first, great second track to start the meeting.
Yeah.
Moving down the list here, we've got a couple of repeat artists today. And this one's more interesting because not only is it Miles Davis, but he's covering another jazz legend here.
Yeah. On this one, this is a cover of Thelonious Monk's Straight No Chaser. This is from a live album featuring both the Miles Davis Sextet as well as Thelonious Monk. It's not a very well-known live record, but it was brought in by friend of the show Pearson, actual friend of the show who we know.
Real person,
In flesh and blood. great cover here. I had no idea that Miles Davis ever covered this track. Just had no clue this record existed. I suppose that's how jazz is there are so many records.
Yeah, and so many performances of the same track. Standards and stuff, they become just like the common cover songs that, you know, they end up becoming. You hear them at like pretty much every jazz festival, gig, you know, session, whatever. You'll end up hearing like some of these like classic ones. Straight No Chaser is not necessarily a standard, but I mean, covering is just such an integral part of jazz culture.
Mm-hmm. Great, delightful track. Love to hear it. Once again, Miles Davis, friend of the show.
Friend of the show.
Really showcases like two eras he's well known for. I don't think it really touches the cool jazz early career stuff, but this is a nice like
hard bop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Touches the middle
thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Very nice. And repeating the same pattern from a second ago, we have a Beach Boys song following that up, which was a bit of a shift from the jazz into straightforward pop music. But this song though was I think it was experimental for the time at least, is The Warmth of the Sun. This is one of my very favorite Beach Boys songs, personally. Mm-hmm. It's a great lead vocal from Brian. It's a very timeless message, I think. It's a good song.
It's about Kennedy, too.
It's inspired by JFK getting shot. Yeah, it was the week after JFK got shot. Brian and Mike Love.
Sorry.
No, sorry.
I had no...
No, yeah, this is... Yeah, this. There's lore. Lore goes deep.
You didn't know that?
No!
Beach Boys fan knows that.
There's layers. I'm sorry.
That's like one of the tips of the Beach Boys iceberg.
No fan shaming.
I'm sorry, I was unaware of the Kennedy and nuance
song. Yeah, it's okay. It was the week of Mike Love called Brian Wilson, like, guy, we have to write a song. We have to write a song right now. And they wrote this. I don't think the lyrics are anything about JFK, but the mood in general, I think, is very reflective of the times, I guess.
See, I just thought this was like, I don't know. I thought this was an example of like pre-Pet Sounds, because this came out like what, 63?
64. Shutdown Volume 2.
Okay, so this is off of Shutdown Volume 2 when Brian was still touring with the band. I thought this was just one where he was like, okay, guys, I'm going to show you something really special. This is one I worked on for a while. Apparently not.
No, just JFK.
Yay. Apparently it just...
Rest in peace.
Well, if we got one thing from the assassination of JFK, we got a pretty cool song out of it, I suppose.
And a bunch of war and all that stuff.
I think that's outside the purview.
I mean, I just don't see how that's relevant to the record club. I mean, we just got a great Beach
Boys. We got
the
music out of it.
Just
wait until I bring in the Platoon soundtrack.
We live in a vacuum.
Beautiful. Segue time. We played Let's Go. You played Let's Go Crazy by Prince.
Yeah, I played Let's Go Crazy by Prince,
and that's a great song. Love that song.
Here's the thing: I absolutely hated the song for a while, but then
toxic trait, by the way. Yeah, let's just say that.
I heard it like almost everywhere, like a bunch of times. Like I heard it on like the radio. I heard it, you know, at one of our like little, you know, RSO fairs or whatever, and I heard it at the comic book store, and I was like, actually, this song is pretty good.
It only took like three times.
Well, it was more than three. It's right. Just those are three examples. It was crazy how many times I heard it. And it's like, oh, man, it's, you know.
You had to be beaten into submission in order to like it. You just had to play it over and over again.
Checking out X-Men comics with Let's Go Crazy in the background. Stuff like that.
It's good music for any situation.
It's a good mood. You're going crazy.
Yeah.
You're going nuts.
In the meeting, though, you did say you were trying to skip the guitar solo at the end, and they didn't let that happen, which I'm glad is the case.
It drags on.
It does not.
Plus, I wanted more time to play songs.
Oh, wait,
and
the ending of it?
It was like 30 seconds.
Yeah,
the ending of it, dude.
The ending of it's like the sickest part. It's awesome.
And then, at least we got a chance to play the 20-minute song later because of it.
I'm not really a fan of big, fancy, showboaty kind of stuff like that, I guess.
But when you're like the person to like originate that style of showboatiness and like in that way,
have that whole trash can ending just that thing. Like,
when you're Prince, you can do what you want.
That's true. That is very true.
After that, though, we have transitions.
We're great at this. This is another jazz song. Is this famous? I'm not a jazz person. I've heard of Charles Mingus,
very famous bassist, but I don't think the track itself is very famous.
And the song, of course, is The Fables of Phoebus, or as it's labeled on this album, the original Phoebus Fables. And from my understanding, this song, the reason that was like that is because this song was originally written with lyrics, but they were taken off from the original release because it's a very topical song for the time. It's about the governor of Arkansas, whose name was Falvis, who was in charge during the Little Rock Nine during the civil rights movement. And he made a point of trying to bar these kids from coming to school with the National Guard, which, of course, caused the whole...
Wait, is that the whole, like, you stand in the doorway, don't block up the hall?
Yeah, exactly. That's what Bob Dylan... I think that's what Bob Dylan was referencing. It might have been a different racist governor. It was the style at the time. That's what
like
they did.
Bull Connor, maybe.
It might have. I think it was George Wallace for Bob Dylan, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter which racist it was. It's just from the times they are changing. But this was one of those incidents where they had to call Dwight Eisenhower, the president at the time, had to send in like the airborne unit to go make sure these kids got to school. So there's a lot of crazy pictures from the time of like kids walking to school with like soldiers around them and like an angry mob following them. It's just a surreal time. And this song is mocking the entire like anti-civil rights movement around the time. It's really, it's a very interesting track, very interesting historical time. And this version has the lyrics on it. The original didn't have the lyrics, but this was like a later live version that they put them back on. And it's very good. It's like a satire on it.
Charles Mingus, like despite playing the bass and, you know, despite being, you know, a great bassist, I mostly remember him for his horn writing. Because the way he writes horns, everything just sounds so like murky and nasty, like, and
eerie.
Sinister.
Yeah. One of the things about this track is that it really kind of reminded me of like Tom Waits in some regards, like maybe with the vocal delivery, but then also just the like erratic like instrumentation, like the reeds and stuff, like really squonking and stuff. Really cool track.
Squonk. I like the squonk.
Yeah.
I'm using that from now on. That's a good, great word.
All right. Now that we're post squonk, we have another track.
Is that a genre?
Yeah.
Post-squonk.
So after that post-squonk track, we have The Audience by Coheed and Cambria.
Yeah. So this was off of their only non-conceptual album called Color Before the Sun. And this was an album written around the time that Claudio, the frontman, was about to have his first child with his wife named Alice. And he kind of just wanted to capture that sort of as just raw emotions and not hide it behind the concept. But it delves into other themes as well. In this track, The Audience, he's mostly talking about how he feels writing things that maybe the audience, you know, doesn't like, or, you know, they kind of like tear down his work when he's putting his all into this thing. It's very reflective of the creative process that he's going through at this point. But it's just a very dark track, and, you know, it kind of talks about like how, you know, you can pick my bones and whatever, but I'm still going to be here whether you like my music or not. It's a very defiant track. But yeah, it's my favorite track off of that album. Comes out towards the end there. Some cool rhythmic stuff in the middle. There's like a break where there's a 1, 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, and then goes into like a breakdown kind of thing. And I still have to really think about where those hits are coming in. I still haven't quite figured it out yet. But yeah, just a really fun track overall. Really dark, really brooding. Love the track, love the album, love the band.
Speaking of dark and brooding, the Lumberjack song from Monty Python. Now, I believe, was it you who brought this in,
Yeah, I brought
Tyler?
This in off my little EP book of songs, like Python songs, or something like that. Some EP collection filled with, like, you know, a bunch of their good, well-known parody songs. But yeah, I brought in the Lumberjack song.
I had no idea what it was. I was like... I don't know. I was like, I think I like left the room for a second, and I come back in, and then the Lumberjacks.
I'm a lumberjack and I'm okay.
I sleep all night, then I work all day.
Gosh.
He's got the Mounties singing with him and stuff. Canadian Mounties.
We love the Canadians. Friends
shout
of the
out,
show.
Shout out to the entire country of Canada.
Shout out. All right. After that, we have I Loves You Porgy by Nina Simone from I'm forgetting the name of the record.
It's
I
like
think
live,
it's live at Carnegie Hall.
Live at Carnegie Hall.
I think it might just be live.
Clicked on it. Yeah, Live at Carnegie Hall. It's just called In Concert. I lied.
Nina Simone In Concert. Forgot the name. This is my favorite Nina Simone record. I brought this in because I went to a concert and I went to a record shop afterwards, and I'd been looking for this pressing for a while now. It's one of those like Verve acoustic sound series. Mm. I want to get some like vinyl talk in here because we are the Vinyl Record Club. Yeah.
Wait, Lansing Community College has a vinyl record club? Tell me more.
That's the
We're getting to it.
But yeah, I've been looking for this Nina album for a while now. Just a beautiful track. Her vocals, she just captures the room in a way that very few performers can.
Very distinct vocals, just very, I want to say recognizable, but it's just like it really catches you when you first hear it.
It's a song and a record, really, that I don't really have the words to describe, because the whole record, it isn't just about these are some pretty songs. It's very historically charged. It's a classic, seminal record. Big thumbs up. We love you, Nina Simone.
Indeed.
Now, a bit of a switch. Do you want to talk about this one?
Yes, I would. This is Autobahn by Kraftwerk off of their album of the same name. And this is why we like these summer meetings, is because we can play songs that are much longer than we normally would, and we can kind of just let it stretch out. And this song is especially what we're talking about, because this is 20 minutes long, and it is a nice, chill song, but it's a very visual song. Like, you feel like you're there in the car driving down the Autobahn. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And what year did this come out, by the way?
1974.
Wow. That, okay.
Yeah, they were. This is very ahead of its time then. They were, Kraftwerk was pushing the envelope with the electronic stuff with this.
Especially with like the synthesizer. I'm going to call it Foley work, I guess, because they use the synthesizers to replicate like the sounds of cars rushing by and engines starting and bumping on the road. I don't know. I can't think of any other earlier examples of people trying to create real world sounds with these synthesizers, or I guess like non-musical sounds.
Yeah, that's very fascinating. They were pushing the envelope there. Anyway, 20-minute song though. That was a nice time. We just kind of get the sit down and pretend you're in a car for 20 minutes.
I liked it. That was pretty good.
And then it gets butted up next against a 4-second song.
You Suffer by Napalm Death, which is, I haven't listened to this record in full, but that is the most punk title of a song and album and artist that I've ever heard of in my life. And it's 4 seconds long, and we've been talking about it longer than it goes on for. Anyway, following that up was one of my favorite songs ever, and that is the song Map Ref, 41 degrees north, 93 degrees west by Wire off their album 154. And I love this song, not just because it's catchy and it's really good, it's a great post-punk track, but because my job in real life is I deal with maps a lot, and they say stuff like the lyrics of the song, it's talking about, like, was it an unseen ruler defines with geometry, and I was like, that's me, that's what my job is. It's about aerial photography and cartography and stuff. It's just, I just nerded out a little bit over it. It's a great track.
Wire, I think, is like criminally underappreciated.
Absolutely.
When it comes to post-punk.
Their first three albums, was it Pink Flag, I forget the second one, and then 154, all really excellent stuff.
I'm forgetting the name of the middle one, but Pink Flag and 154, classics.
Yeah, you can definitely, like, those three albums, I think, really chart the whole development of post-punk as well, because the first one's very, like, they do some experimentation with it, but, like, it's still very straight up just a punk album. Like, half the songs are just under 2 minutes long, and occasionally there's, like, a longer song where they really get into stuff, but most of it's just really short. And this album, I think, is, like, the full development into, like, post-punk. There's, like, a 7-minute, like, gothic rock song on this that's crazy. I forget the name of it, but it's an excellent record. I highly recommend it if you're, like, a fan of, like, post-punk or the gothic rock, that kind of stuff. You'll definitely get something out of this.
I hadn't really thought about it like that. I mean, I can't really think of many other bands who their records so clearly lay out like how post-punk evolved.
And that's only in like 3 years' time as well, so they changed so much.
I mean, Talking Heads did something similar, but Talking Heads is Talking Heads. I wouldn't just call them post-punk.
Yeah, they moved.
They were so inspired by funk and Afrobeat and all that other stuff, but Wire really just
started out
as a pretty simple post-punk, a rough and rowdy band, and evolved really into like proto-goth.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. But yeah, great band, great album,
great track.
Check it out, great track. It's now for something completely different, Tyler. Let's talk about this one.
Yeah, it's In the Navy. I brought that in
by the Village People, friends of the show.
Yeah, by the Village People. Yeah, and the Navy provided them with access to film on the deck of the USS Reasoner, and there's like fighter jets in the end and all this stuff. And but in the end, the Navy did not use the song, and
due to unforeseen circumstances,
they just used Anchors Away, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but we got a banger song out of it anyway.
They basically made the YMCA, but for the Navy.
Yeah, that's, like, that's
it
what it
sounds
says.
A lot. It sounds a
yeah,
lot
that's
like
what it.
It
says. It says after the enormous commercial success of their 78 hit YMCA, which unexpectedly became the unofficial hymn and powerful advertising tool for the YMCA, the group took on another national institution. The United States Navy.
The phrasing on that.
And they
love it.
They
Navy,
won.
The Navy contacted the manager to use the song in a recruiting and advertising campaign for TV and radio. And then their manager gave the rights free on condition that the Navy help them shoot said video, which they said, totally. Heck
Let's
yeah,
go.
Man. Yeah.
It was beautiful. It was beautiful.
It's a good music video, though.
You don't get an aircraft carrier in a music video very often. That was it's a power move.
Here's a anti-advertisement for another institution, DMV by Primus.
Primus, I want to get into him even more. I'm embarrassingly not that far into Primus. I'm a huge Ween fan. I know Primus and Ween are like two sides of the same coin almost, but I'm not too far into Primus. But what I understand is that what they're doing here with like the bass tone and the guitar tone and stuff, it should not work. It sounds terrible, but it works. I don't know how he does it. Les Claypool, he's a madman.
Yeah, no, these guys are crazy. Primus, kind of noise rock, punk rock, industrial kind of. But yeah, just a lot of fun.
The band is like, they function off like aura alone.
Oh, absolutely.
Like really, if you just like throw on like Sailing the Seas of Cheese without any like prior reference, without knowing anything but Sailing the Seas
Sailing
of Cheese.
Sailing the Seas of Cheese.
I'm confused.
This album's
the
called
record.
And of course, this album's called
Pork
Soda.
On another meeting, I think that album did come in at one of the meetings.
If it hasn't, someone's got to bring it in.
I want to bring in. If you want to get into Primus, I think their first record, which is not Frizzle Fry, their first record is Suck on This. It's a live album from I think 1989, maybe.
Oh, wow.
Super early. It has the first recordings of all of their songs that you find on Frizzle Fry.
Wow.
But they're a little bit more raw and a little bit more punky.
Yeah.
I don't like raw fries.
That's unfortunate. But yeah.
You don't like potatoes?
Yeah. Well, I like potatoes, but I like them cooked.
But yeah. Primus.
Friends of
just
the show.
Strange people. Friends of the show.
He's a what a beautiful band. Okay. Beautiful group of people. Moving it forward, we have two songs that are kind of related to each other, but not really in any meaningful way.
Yeah.
What we have here, we have Keep It Gay, which the originally, the 45 I found of it is by
Perry Como. Yeah.
But they didn't have that one on Spotify because it's like one of 17 billion recordings of this song. So I picked the Rosemary Clooney version of it anyway, but I played it solely for the title. And I did it last year solely for the title. So it just worked out like that.
What else do we got in here? What else have we got in here?
Didn't you want to mention something about Tyler?
Yeah, I love you, Alice B. Toklas by Harper's Bazaar. Expect to see more of them coming soon. Probably in August on my birthday.
Happy birthday.
But yeah, it's basically, it's about this lady, Alice B. Toklas, and it mentions her life partner, Gertrude Stein. And Alice B. Toklas had a cookbook that had a recipe for hashish fudge, which is essentially edibles, like weed brownies. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like the first, it's not her recipe. It's just, it was in her cookbook, but it's like the first documented thing of edibles. And she was like a big part of like 60s counterculture, especially with like the movie that's called I Love You, Alice B. Toklas.
I didn't know there was a tie-in film.
Yeah.
I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah, it's about, you know, I haven't watched it either. It's, you know, it's basically about Alice B. Toklas and her brownies. The movie is.
Well, I'm glad she has her own Purple Rain.
That's really good.
I think that's beautiful.
Yeah.
Anyway, we have a couple more songs here I would like to touch on.
Real quick, sorry.
First off, Fallen Angel by King Crimson. Beautiful song.
Beautiful.
Great vocals.
Beast.
I forgot the name of the vocalist here.
John
I'm so
Wetton.
Sorry. John Wetton. Yeah. This is my favorite, one of my favorite, probably my favorite King Crimson album under this or Discipline. I can't decide. This is Red off their album Red.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Didn't it also have a Starless?
Starless. That's the greatest song ever written, maybe. Who knows?
It's beautiful. Then we have Summer Lestat, Opus 8, number 2, by Antonio Vivaldi.
Friend of the show.
Cool guy.
We'll have him on one of these days.
Yeah. And then as soon as that one was done, we ran through with a train on Barbary Coast from Weather Report.
And that was a bit of a shock because that song starts out with just like a really loud train horn and you're like...
Yeah, no, Steve was like, oh, that was a nice track.
Oh, yeah, beautiful transition. Mm-hmm. And then rounding things out, of course, we're going to end with another Brian Wilson classic, Please Let Me Wonder.
I played that as well. Off the 45, which the 45 album art is like probably the greatest 45 album art I've seen, but it's all subjective. But I just played it because, you know, it's a good song. Plus, he says, I love you at the end, which that's is, kind of like saddening, knowing that he's like passed away.
It's out of nowhere. Like at the very end of the song, he like leans into the microphone. He's like, I love you. And then the song ends.
It's like what we do.
We do it here at the podcast.
Ain't that sweet.
And we took it from, we're going to retroactively say that I've been doing that because it's in that song. But I think that wraps it all up for today.
Indeed it does.
Had to cram a lot in.
Yeah, we snuck it in at the very end, but I think we made it. Thank you all for listening in. If you're interested in coming to any of our meetings or listening to any past podcasts or checking out our playlists or anything like that, you can check out our website, which we linked with the show. We'll have our schedule there, any themes we might be doing, as well as a lot of other wonderful stuff you can learn about our club. During the summer, we meet once a month. Our next meeting, I think by the time this comes out, will be...
16th of July.
16th of July. So, and if that's... If we're not out by then, it'll be August the... What day was that?
It was the 6th.
August 6th.
My
happy birthday. Make sure everybody to wish Tyler happy birthday on August 6th. Anyway.
It's also going to be outside.
Yes. Yeah. It might be outside if it's not raining. Any other information you might need, it's all on the website. Everybody's welcome. Whether you've been collecting for your entire life or you've literally never seen a record before in your life, the only requirement is you have to be willing to listen to music you wouldn't normally listen to and go outside your comfort zone a little bit with that. It's a great group of people. Fantastic music taste. Very interesting music taste.
Yeah. Student, community member, faculty, anybody's welcome at these meetings.
Yes, you are. And that does wrap it up for today. Thank you all for listening in. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Love you so much.
Bye-bye. Thank you.